Good morning. That was pretty good, actually. Yes, I will confess, I do have a black eye. You are not seeing things. And I had a fun encounter already passing the peace. First time ever in my history in passing the peace. Usually people say, peace be with you, peace of Christ, also with you. But today, one person looked at me and said, I hope the other guy looks worse than you. That was the best response I've ever received. I told the group yesterday, I got this from a church board meeting. It sounds better that way. I live in Seattle, Washington. Do you know my neck of the woods? So I'm delighted to be here, replacing rain with snow yesterday. What? Syracuse, you're a funny place. I fly in, it's snow, and it's 70, and you call that spring. Okay, just checking. We had a great time yesterday, and I had to confess that I had this black eye, I fell down, I passed out, fell down, and the thing about it is, whenever we don't have our act together, it messes with us, doesn't it? We don't like to confess we don't have our act together. We don't like to be needy. Because when we're needy, then other people are connected to us. And we're connected to them. And so that was part of the process, and so I was glad to be with the group yesterday. Which leads us to our sermon this morning and the scripture. A little boy, how many moms in the room? Okay, great. Some of you are going, this wasn't a trick question, by the way. Just some of you are going, I was a mom this morning, but I'm changing my mind. Little boy was having nightmares. Moms know this story, right? And the kind of nightmares where you don't go to dad's side of the bed, do you? Right? Because what does dad say? Exactly. Go to your mom or go back to bed. So, mama, I'm having nightmares. It's okay, honey. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go back to your room. I want you to kneel down by your bed. I want you to pray to Jesus, and he'll fix it. Okay, mama, back to his room, knelt down by his bed, prayed to Jesus, got back in bed, and he had more. See, all moms know this story. Nightmares are not a one-time thing, are they? So back and forth to mom, and the sixth time, mama, I'm having nightmares. Here's what I want. Mom, I already know the story. I'm going to go back to my room. I'm going to kneel down by my bed. I'm going to pray to Jesus, and he'll fix it. But before I do that, can I just lay in bed with you and have you hold me? Well, she said, sure, honey. Why? He said, because, mama, sometimes I need Jesus with skin on it. Do you know what we are? We're Jesus with skin on it. Did you know that? Now, I'm going to give you the good news part of the sermon, which is interesting, the good news. Because we call the sermon the good news, but I was raised in a church that we didn't have good news in the sermons. There was bad news and then more bad news. That was really the sermon. But I'm going to tell you the good news part. I'm not here to recruit you to do anything. I'm not. Another story about, this is Sunday morning, and the mom was going to do something special for her two boys, blueberry pancakes. Oh, by the way, have you been to the breakfast here on the second and fourth Sundays? Unbelievable. It was great this morning. Anyway, blueberry pancake Sunday, and the boys, moms know this story too, the boys are fighting to see who's going to get the first blueberry pancake. And we're not talking about shouting at each other. We're talking about fisticuffs rolling around the floor. And finally, the mom, because you're getting ready for church, you're already, and you're trying to do blueberry pancakes. And so finally, boys, sit down. Time for a moral lesson. If Jesus were here right now, he would give the first pancake to his brother. Well, that shut him up. And then after a minute, the older brother turns to the younger brother and says, I have an idea. Today you be Jesus. I'm not here to recruit you to be Jesus in skin. I'm here to give you the news that you are. Did you hear? I'm going to walk down for this part. Did you hear the gospel reading from Matthew? While Jesus was talking to the crowd, somebody said, "Your mother and your brothers are outside wanting to see." We think the scripture, we hear the scripture and it goes like this. The scripture can be quite funny sometimes. Remember, the mother and brothers are staying outside wanting to speak to you. What did Jesus say? Who is my mother? You don't think that's weird? I'm serious. If you don't think that's weird, try it this Thanksgiving. Seriously. Go at the dinner table, go, "Who is my mother?" Because the disciples are going, "Lord, have mercy. He doesn't know who his mother is. Or his brothers. Jesus, what is wrong with you?" Right? And Jesus turns it on its head, pointing to his disciples. Here we go, biblical lesson time. When we hear the word disciples, we're inculcated to think 12 men. Did you know when the word disciples is used throughout the New Testament, it doesn't really mean the 12 men. What's it mean? Everybody who walked around after Jesus. That means men and women. That means old and young. It doesn't really matter. Everybody. Jesus said this. Now this part will freak you out. And if you want to be freaked out, don't come to church. Don't read the Bible. Jesus said, pointing to his disciples, he said, "Hate to break it to you, but this is my brother. This is my sister. This is my mother. This is my sister. This is my brother. This is my mother." Every one of us are connected on this journey, which means there's a difference to be made there. So where do we go with this? There was a family reunion. Do you like family reunions? Well, this is the kind of family reunion you don't want to go to. And you spend all your energy avoiding that one uncle that nobody ever wants to talk to. But there's this one little kid, he's 5. And there's like a matriarch of the family. She's like 92 or something. She's sitting over there. She's just like dozing for a minute. And he doesn't know her. And he walks up to her. You know how kids are great. They're just staring at her lined face. And finally she looks at him and he says, "Can I ask you a question?" She said, "Yes." He said, "You're old." She said, "Yes." He said, "Well, if you're so old, how come you're not dead yet?" She said, "Well, son, I've thought about it. There have been times when I've laid down in my bed and I've thought, it's time to go. But every time I've laid down on my bed and thought it's time to go, somebody always asks me for a sandwich. And I get up and make them a sandwich. And after a while, you realize there are a lot of hungry people around. So there are a lot of sandwiches that need to be made. And I guess what with the time I spend making sandwiches, I just haven't had the time to die." Every one of us, if we change that verb, can relate to that story. I lay down and I want to quit. I want to stop. I want to break down. I want to give in. I want to be tired of it all. I want to throw my hands in the air. And then we come to a place like today and we look around and we realize, wait a minute, that's a brother or sister or mother. And we are making sandwiches. And we walk out of here and we say, wait a minute, that's a brother or sister or mother. And we are in the business of making sandwiches. I'm not here to recruit you. And I'm not here to tell you that you have to gain some special skill. You are Jesus in skin, which means there's already within you the capacity to offer hope. It is no small thing to be compassionate. Caroline was 6 years old. Caroline's father had just died. Caroline's father had just been killed. Caroline's father had just been assassinated. There are people listening to me who remember that, do not? Caroline Kennedy was in the back of a big black limousine going down the boulevard of Washington, D.C. I've heard Caroline tell this story. Caroline did not know what to do with her sadness, her brokenness, her feeling aloneness. Sitting next to Caroline in the back of the limousine was her caretaker, Maud. And sitting next to Maud was Caroline's younger brother, whose name was John. Caroline looked out the front of the limousine, and walking in front of the limousine was her mother and her two uncles. And in front of that was a horse-drawn carriage with her father's casket. And Caroline, in her sadness, began to weep. Walking next to Caroline's side of the car, it's interesting, you can Google it and look up the photo. It's worth seeing. Walking next to Caroline's side of the car was the Secret Service agent whose name was Robert Foster. Robert was assigned to Caroline Kennedy that day. The Secret Service agents were friends of the Kennedy children. Caroline trusted Robert Foster. She saw Robert out the window, and not knowing what to do with her sadness, she rolled down her window and stuck her hand out. Robert Foster, as a Secret Service agent, knew that if he reached out and grabbed her hand, he was going to be in the possibility of being punished. Why? Because as a Secret Service agent, he had to have his hands at the ready. But Robert Foster didn't even think twice. Look up the photo. Walking down the boulevard of Washington, D.C. that day is a big old Secret Service agent holding the hand of a six-year-old girl. Because a hand needed to be held. Can I tell you the rest of the story? He wasn't fired. In fact, he went on to serve several presidents for several years. Can I tell you the rest of the story? When Robert Foster was asked, "Why did you do that?" he said, "Because a hand needed to be held." Why did you do that? Because a sandwich needed to be made. Why did you do that? Because someone was hungry. Why did you do that? Because someone's in pain. Why did you do that? Because someone's left out. Why did you do that? I was in Columbus, Ohio, preaching at a church. I told the story of Robert Foster. After the sermon, people were shaking my hand and saying, "Terry, that was a great sermon." I said, "Thank you." He said, "Terry, that was a great, thanks for telling the story of Robert." I said, "You're welcome." They said, "No, really, thanks for telling the story of Robert." I said, "You're welcome." They said, "No, really." I said, "I heard you." They said, "No." And then I realized why. Robert used to be a member of their church. He had died 2 years before I preached the sermon. His wife was still a member of the congregation. Are you ready for this part? The congregation didn't know the story. Why? Because Robert didn't do it to become somebody. He didn't do it to be noticed. He didn't do it to score points. He did it because a hand needed to be held. Justice rolls down when we're able to hold the hand that needs to be held because we know that we are Jesus in skin. So today, would you do me a favor? Would you be on the lookout for slow-moving limousines? Because there are hands that need to be held. And would you do me another favor? Since you know that we're Jesus in skin, when you need us to hold your hand, would you roll down your window? We'll be there. Amen.